Mitchell and John Hendricks, and joining us, our Flathead County Commissioner, Randy Brodell.
Good morning, John and Robin.
Hi,
again,
Randy.
Great to see you guys.
You Thanks. Too. Well, I guess you're out of the budget thing for a while.
Yeah, we are. We're there, and we just got great news. Our budget is actually going to be down about $2.7 million less than it was last year. And that's a good thing. After all the hullabaloo that came from the Department of Revenue and the threat of your taxes going way up, we've got proof that they were just blowing smoke. I tell you, though, that is for about 35% of your taxes. We don't control the rest of it. That is if you live in the city and is a city budget. And if you look at the libraries, the schools, all that takes up the rest of it.
Mm-hmm. So has the budget, did you approve it?
We have moved ahead with it, yep.
Okay, so I thought it was yesterday you guys were going to
approve it. It wasn't yesterday. I think it was... Actually, I think the final vote is Thursday, but it's moving ahead. I don't think there's going to be any questions about it.
Well, it sure looks mighty good. We got a note from Pete Melnick on it, and it looks, my gosh. How many mills did you save us?
We were looking at a total of 5.47 mills. That's about 5.5% is what we're really talking about, of what we could have actually taxed. And we've done that for the past 4 years, about that much each year. And I think that really... points towards the efficiency of your county government and the efficiency of our finance department and our staff. They've been incredible, and they're constantly keeping their pencils sharp and making sure that we're doing this right.
We're able to drop the tax rates a bit because the property values have certainly gone up, and we've had finally getting to add some new properties to the tax rolls.
That's right. As I think last time I was here, we talked a little bit about it. It's 2.5 to 3 years before we start collecting from those new new construction projects out there, and now we're starting to see that come in, and that really eases the burden on the rest of the residents here.
Sure. All right. So that's mighty good news. And I also notice in the budget we've put some capital money aside, too.
We have. We put some capital money aside, and I don't have those numbers. I think it's about $12 million, a little bit more that we put into capital projects. We're always looking out there about 5 years, sometimes a little bit longer than that on some projects, and setting part of that money aside now so that we're not trying to all of a sudden budget for all of it right now.
Well, I was fascinated to see that you put $250,000 aside for the new location for the Imagine If Library.
Right, right.
And a couple million aside for the new jail.
Yep. I think it's important that we recognize that we are really developing a good relationship with the library. They're putting some numbers together. They're moving really slow on making sure they get the the project right and where they go and what they do. They've got about 10 years left in their current contract, but now is the time for them to start planning. Now is the time to start putting some money aside for them.
The school district now has moved their offices out of that building, so they're getting ready to sell it.
They are, and of course the lease will go with the sale, so it won't impact the library, but it is really something that the library board is making some decisions on, and we're supporting their due diligence on it. We're also putting money aside again, and we've been doing this for many years, putting money aside for a jail, and we don't know that we're gonna when that project will move ahead and if it will. But we've done a jail needs study, and it's clear that we are going to be focusing on what that means. And we have, we're looking at property. We're looking at projects that would really help us see that come together.
Okay, now the sale of library location, Who would that benefit, the county or the schools?
That would benefit the schools. The building is actually owned by the school district, and they lease it to us for $1 a year.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's going to be hard to find a deal quite that good.
Yeah, so far they haven't done anything about the cost of living going up. But
Yeah, that's kind of a tough one to take, though, and that's why you really got to plan ahead because it will be a significant increase.
It is. It's like the jail, as we were talking about with the jail. We're talking a really expensive project, and that we would go to the voters with and say, is this what you want to do? And so it's not going to be something that we're going to make that decision on. It's going to be the voters. And that's where it really belongs.
But back when we were really talking seriously about it right away, Mike Pence showed us some plans. And I think it's important that when we talk about the jail, we're talking about more than just a place to warehouse prisoners. We're talking about drug treatment. We're talking about medical treatment. We're talking about counseling. There's a lot of stuff that's going to go into this new facility that will make it a more effective facility.
Right. That's and that's where we are right now. We don't have the facilities for drug treatment. We don't have the facilities for Alcoholics Anonymous to have any kind of a broad enough program for what we have. We're also dealing with the increase in drug issues and mental health issues, and we've been housing those in our jail, not necessarily where they need to be, but it's the only place available for them. So we really need to be able to have that as part of the equation.
Well, now you also put aside $50,000 for replacing the Conrad softball fields, the Conrad complex.
Yeah, at some point that those fields actually belong to the Conrad Cemetery, not to us. And although they're not looking today at making that change, we want to be very ready for if they decide to take those fields back over.
Oh, okay, so that kind of gives us an idea of the advanced planning here. What about the fairgrounds? Do we need to do any more work over there?
There's always work to be done at the fairgrounds. I'll tell you, we had a very successful fair this year. And even in the 4-H and FFA sales, we were $1.2 million in animal sales. And what that really tells you is the people in our community understand the value of supporting kids who work hard and kids who are really engaged in those kind of projects.
One of the other things that Pete put out in his memo was staffing this year.
Yeah, we've gone from, just as an example, the sheriff's office, they were about 15 positions down a year ago, and they're fully staffed now. We have focused on that. We have been between the sheriff's office and our HR department in every one of our departments out there. They've really done a tremendous amount of work to get to really sell the county on and who we are and what we do, and we're seeing that result coming in, not only in the length of time that positions are open, but in good quality people coming to work for the county.
Let's move over to the messy subject, the septage treatment plant.
Yeah.
Everybody needs one.
Yeah. Yeah. So we are right now, we have, we're moving ahead with that. But it is a slow process because it's expensive and there's a lot of moving parts in it. One has to be the septage treatment plant has to be adjacent to a sewer treatment plant. And so there's not a lot of options out there. And the one piece of property that we have an offer on, contingent on them being able to get their permits with the state, is in Lower Valley. And we are looking at some other property just in case as backups. But we are moving ahead. The elasticity of that time frame is getting shorter because that is money that we have received from a grant from the state, but it does have a drop-dead date on it.
Okay. Now, I spoke with someone who's one of the neighbors down there, and they're not happy with the effluent treatment plant. They said, well, it stinks. And I said, well, this one won't stink, at least. And it's there, and they're not going to move the effluent plant. So, you got to think of the greater good at some point.
Yeah, and I think you're right. I think the plant right now, it does have an odor to it on certain days. Generally, I've been standing right next to the plant down there, and really the ponds are not odor-free, but pretty close to it. I think where they get the smell is they do apply it to the fields through a sprinkler system onto the ag fields, and when they do that, then that does stir up the air, and you do get some odor with it, and I totally understand that. The plant that we're looking at has a air filtration system that may not make it totally smell-free, but it's going to do a whole lot, and we're looking at some other options about what we do, actually where we mix it with the woody products and how that comes together that might take that off-site.
Okay. Well, and we'll table that discussion for a little bit because we want to talk water. Water in Flathead Lake. We're down, what, 30 inches?
30 inches is what I just saw an email on that, and I can't confirm that. I know a couple weeks ago we were at 22 inches.
Yeah.
But the tribe did say the energy keepers that runs the dam at the south end of the lake said they're anticipating by today that they would be at 30 inches down. It's a mess. Yeah. It is an incredible mess, and today it's not about pointing fingers. It's about next year.
I saw an item today that wells are down all over the country. I mean, in other words, the well levels are dropping. So you go, what is going on?
Yeah, and not so much here in the Flathead because we have great aquifers that are moving. They're aquifers, most of them are moving really fast with a whole lot of water in them, but there's always that possibility that we can't recharge those if we get several years of bad snowpack. And so, you know, we're watching that. DNRC, the state government, has authority over the wells, and they watch it pretty close. They monitor all the aquifers really closely.
Hmm. Yeah. Is there anything we can do about next year?
Yeah, there is, and we need cooperation from the cooperators, from the tribe, from the Bureau of Reclamation that runs Hungry Horse Dam, and they have agreed, all but the tribe has agreed to come to the table and talk about it, and we're waiting on the tribe to make some decisions. They said a little later this fall. Right now, they're saying no, that they're not interested in coming to the table, but they said maybe. They may change their position a little bit later this fall. Mm-hmm. The Bonneville Power Administration has loaned us a facilitator, Kate Wilson, who is great. I've worked with her over the years many times on the Flathead Basin Commission. And she is doing a great job of trying to piece this together so that we have the right people for a very intense meeting that come to the table and make some decisions. Visited with Jennifer Carrington, who is the regional director in Boise for the Bureau of Reclamation. They get it. They understand that there were some mistakes made. They're not looking at pointing fingers either. They're looking at fixing it for next year. And so we've got some real commitment from folks that are willing to move ahead that need to be there.
From your perspective, Randy, is it more of a question of timing?
It was a question of... one, poor anticipation of the weather, and that's going to be typical. It's not possible for us to outguess the weather, but we didn't get it right. And then what happened is adjustments weren't made rapidly for that at either of the dams, and then to exacerbate that, the Bureau of Reclamation depends on the what's called the technical management team, which is a group of fish specialists up and down the Columbia to give them recommendations, and the Bureau used their recommendations and did not lower the level at Hungry Horse Dam in fear of litigation over fish. And so right now all of us probably remember when the levels of the reservoir were down 20 feet or more, sometimes up to 80 feet down. This year, a few weeks ago, they were 6.5 feet down is all they've gone down. So they did not release the water to refill Flathead Lake. And that's out of fear of litigation. That needs to be fixed.
Yeah. But boy, thank goodness we had that water in the reservoir because they had to scoop the water out to take care of those wildfires.
Yeah, and those wildfires are all of a sudden are looking a whole lot better today.
Yeah, that's right.
We really feared the worst here, but it looks like we're going to skate by this season.
Well, we can hope. We can hope. The season may not be over yet because this is, although we're going to get maybe an inch and a half or an inch and three quarters of rain over the next day, but... those fires don't go out with that right. kind of moisture. Mm-hmm. And so, but it does allow the firefighters to get closer to the line. I've spent some time up at the fire and only the East Fork fire. And I just want to first say thank you to the people that live in the community. Some of them were evacuated. Some of them were on pre-evacuation, but they were in the meetings. They asked great questions, and the incident management team that is there today and is getting ready to transition out were great communicators. They just did a good mm-hmm. job of keeping the mm-hmm. community informed, keeping us informed.
Well, they had 600 people working that fire.
Yeah, they did. And they've got, of course, the Ridge Fire and the Tin Soldier Complex and the Doris mm-hmm. Fire and Doris Ridge Fire. And so we've got a lot of fires and a lot of people who have been engaged in this, plus the air operations that have been just paramount in helping us.
So if we may come out of this a whole lot better than we at first feared.
Yeah, I think so. I think, we had some lightning last night, and one of the things that can do is it can strike a tree and it just lay there and punk for a couple of weeks and then all of a sudden light up and move when you mm-hmm. don't expect it. And so we'll be watching that.
Well, it sounds like we've had a pretty good year this year, and it sounds like the commissioners are in good position to take us into the next fiscal year.
We are, and really it's the people in the valley that are in that good position because they have put the right people in place out of the 555 employees we have. All of them really have a focus on being conservative and doing what's right with the taxpayers' money.
And that is really something that has always been a part of the tradition of Flathead County government.
It is. And if you look at the Big Eight in the state, we consistently come in with not taxing the full amount that we can. We have less employees per 1,000 people in than any of the other counties, and yet we're a county that has we have 2/3 of the people live in the county here, and where the other counties it's 2/3 of the people live in the municipalities, and so we have a whole different dynamic to work with.
And one more thing, you got recognized nationally for the budget.
Yeah, we did, and that's I think our 8th year in a row or
something like that. Yeah,
that's Amy Dexter and her team. They have just, and I could name them all here, but really, it is about that team in our finance department that are constantly looking at the numbers and looking for ways to make sure that we are in compliance with state and federal law. And not only that, are being accountable to the people.
You might have to get her a bigger office so she has more places on the wall to hang these
there
awards.
There you go, yeah. Yeah, good idea, good idea. Yeah.
Randy Brodell, as always, thanks a lot. A great conversation.
Thank you, Robin and John. It's good to be with you guys.
Thank you.
All right, take care.